On WCLV, IdeaStream Public Media, the Ohio Light Opera season is opening on Saturday, June 10th at the College of Worcester with one of the most famous American musicals, and that is Camelot. And our guest is the artistic director of the Ohio Light Opera, Stephen Daigle, who probably remembers this from when he was a lad.
That's right. I do remember this when I was a lad. This is my fifth Camelot, my third one at Ohio Light Opera, and I just realized that this was the second show I directed 35 years ago. So it does have an expansive time frame as it relates to my own life.
There are musicals that just never quit, and Camelot is one of them. Do you have any theory as to why that might be?
Well, I think part of it is that it has it's rooted in a story that most people know. It's got a different take on the sort of love story of the triangle of the three main characters in it, with Arthur, Guinevere, and Lancelot. It may be, too, that the piece was, at the time it came out in the early 1960s, was a little bit progressive for its time. I believe that Guinevere and Arthur in this version actually create the sort of idea of the round table together in it. It's got tunes, beautiful tunes that some of them have become pop standards, I guess, during the last 60 years. These days, we don't get to see these shows in regional theater or in community theaters anymore. They're being replaced by other titles. There's a sort of nostalgia for wanting to hear those tunes again, especially for someone my age. I'm 60 years old, and it wants to bring us back to maybe a simpler time.
Well, also, the myth of Camelot, I think, is very enduring. There is great ideology imbued in this show, and things go awry.
Correct. I think this is it's a very simple moment in Act Two where the simplicity of Arthur realizing that if he truly loves somebody unconditionally, he cannot be forced to take the law over what his heart is saying.
In addition to Camelot, and we will go into more detail about the other shows in the Ohio Light Opera season on other dates, the next two shows are also classic American musicals.
They are. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, again, early 1960s, almost the same time as Camelot. And then No, No, Nanette, which is a very early, middle 1920s musical, very much like the early Princess Theater shows. And what's interesting about the three of these together is that they're very different. Camelot is not a dance show. That's what made it special. It was something unlike anything else that was going on Broadway, whereas How to Succeed is the dance show with a sort of 60s musical idiom. And then No, No, Nanette hits right into the flapper period of the 1920s with a very lighthearted, non-indulgent story with these wonderful characters that I think we all know as we watch.
And No, No, Nanette had a great revival in the 70s where people got out their tap shoes and Ruby Keeler became fashionable again.
Yes.
And it was high camp, and so many people really enjoyed that. Now, the next three shows in the Ohio Light Opera season have European antecedents.
With Gilbert and Sullivan as a mainstay for our company, we're always putting on a GNS work during the summer. HMS Pinafore is sort of the next one in the cycle, and, of course, very popular work during its time. And then we move into Arizona Lady, which is an unusual Hungarian work from the 1950s set in Arizona, which is a very interesting combination. And then Orpheus in the Underworld. Orpheus in the Underworld is, without a doubt, the sort of pinnacle start to the operetta craze. Gilbert and Sullivan, identify Offenbach as their sort of inspiration for all their works. And Orpheus was the first major success of any operetta. We're looking back historically at a very important show for the genre of operetta by producing Orpheus in the Underworld.
In subsequent chats, we will go into more detail about all of these musicals. I see you're going to have a Pops concert again.
We are. July 4th, we always celebrate the community of Worcester, which is usually a very large turnout, singing patriotic songs for the celebration of July 4th. And this is something we do to give back to the community that has been so supportive of our mission and our company over now 44 years.